Scripture reading tonight will come from Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, and Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and the fat of thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is the countenance fallen? If thou dost well, shalt thou not be accepted, and if thou dost not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel and his brother, and slew him.
Sometimes it's easy to lose our grip. Sometimes as we think about challenges that face us, it's hard to hold on. Sometimes things slip right through our hands. You know, you think about what Jack just read for us. I wonder sometimes how many people fall in this category. When we think about Cain and we think about Abel and we think about sacrifice that's made and think about what a sacrifice is worth, what do we put in front of God, how much thought do we put into it, how much time and effort, how much does it really hurt us with what we give back to God? Tonight, for just a minute, I want us to think about how we honor God. You know, you think back, and I ask this pretty often, but you think back of the day or the time in your life when you heard the gospel, or at whatever point in your life you obeyed the gospel. We have to show reference. We have to think back to the book of Acts when we think about conversion, when we think about our obedience. It makes me go back. And obviously, the first that I think of, Keith and I talk about it pretty often, is the eunuch. You know, it's such a wonderful passage, such a wonderful reading. When we think about a person with a desire to be obedient to God, a person that has a heart that has been touched and they want to show honor to God, and they want to follow God, and they want to accept His teaching, and want to be baptized, want to become a Christian. That is a perfect example, because you can start there, and I'm not going to tonight, but in Acts chapter 8, starting in verse 26, down through the end of the chapter, it's a good reading. But if you look at verse 35, it says, Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And they went, and they're on their way, and they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hindereth me to be baptized? And this is the verse I want us to think about. And Philip said, If thou believest with, what's that word? All. If you believe with all your heart, you may. I don't leave any room, does it? When the question is asked or the challenge is put before us, how much do you believe? Do you believe with all your heart? That's making a commitment. That's making a change in your life, and that's saying, I am going to give it all to God. And you jump back to what Jack read for us, and I know that was a different time, and I understand that, but it still goes on today. We can see the story of Cain and Abel over and over today, and we can think about that. How much sacrifice do we put in? How much honor do we show to God? You know, I don't think that Cain had it all, did he? His heart wasn't that I want to give it all to God. Abel made the sacrifice that God was pleased with, and Cain did not. Then you turn over to the book of Acts again in chapter 16. Starting in verse 28, again, I'm not going to read all of it, but there we see Paul and Silas in prison. Look at verse 30. And brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And look at what he said in the very next verse. He said, "And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and all thy house." Something to do with that believing, isn't it? Something to do with the idea that each one of us needs to believe with all our heart. What do we believe? Well, first of all, we need to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he died on the cross for our sins. Several times since I've been here, I said the gospel, the Bible, or what God expects for us is pretty simple. I said it's three things. I don't know how many of y'all remember that or how many of y'all held on to the idea, but I like it. I like it to the point I've got it written in my Bible, and I think about it pretty often about what God expects from each one of us. Number one, he expects us to obey him. And that right here in Acts chapter 8 and Acts chapter 16 is two conversions that we can read about where someone did obey God. And the second thing God wants us to do is worship him. That's the four areas I want us to look at tonight. How do we show honor to God in our worship? The first thing I think that we have to always be willing to hold on to the truth. We're living in a time that it may not be that popular to think about the truth. At least it's not that easy sometimes to stand up and preach the truth or at least tell someone what we believe and what the Bible says. Because sin is wild, it seems now. No matter where we go or what we talk about, someone is pointing a finger back at Christians and says, "Who are you to judge me?" So it makes it difficult sometimes to stand up and talk about adultery, talk about homosexuality, talk about fornication, talk about drinking, talk about drugs, whatever it may be. It's hard to stand up and preach and teach against that sometimes. So one thing we have to do if we're going to show honor to God is we've got to hold on to the truth. And the Bible tells us that. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13, it says, "Hold fast to the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." Hold fast to that form. As a congregation, we show honor to God that in our worship when we hold on to the scripture, that we teach and we preach and we live that each day of our life. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 21 and verse 22, he says, "Prove all things, hold fast to that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil." Prove all things. The challenge before us as we think about our honor and our worship to God, are we proving those things? Are we holding fast to those things? What I mean by that, and I think what the Bible teaches us, not that we just get in here and we read about it and we talk about it and we agree on it, but that we take these things and we put into our hearts and we put into our lives. Because you look back at Cain and you look back at Abel. They both brought something to God. They both made some sort of effort. But one of the efforts was not accepted. Second thing, we don't need to don't slip into sin. We go back and we think about these conversions. We think about the eunuch and we think about how he went on his way rejoicing. We know that he had a changed life at that point. He was happy about what he had done. He had made a commitment. Like each one of us, we made commitments to God and we said that we're going to live faithful, we're going to obey him and we're going to worship him and we're going to worship him in the right way. We're going to worship him in spirit and in truth. And it's not long after that Satan gets a hold of us and he comes after you and me more than anyone else. Anyone who stands up for God, anyone who's trying to live for God, anyone trying to do the right thing and live a Christian life, Satan's coming at us a lot harder than he is anyone else, because if they're not living for God, he's already got them. So he can devote his time to me and he can devote his time to you. So when we think about the first point being hold on to the truth, we can't let sin slip into our lives and take over. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1 says, "Brethren, if any man be overtaken in fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." You know, the devil wants you back in the world. In the book of Titus chapter 2, it points out that we're supposed to be a peculiar people, zealous of good works, looking for a way for us to be that person that stands up for God. So easy, and I'm trying to stress in my class on Sunday morning, I love teaching that class, and I love that age group. They may be bored, I don't know, but I'm enjoying the class. One of the things I'm trying to stress to them is in our decision making is to always put God first. And one day I made the statement to them, and I corrected it as soon as I said it. I said, "Y'all are in a difficult point in your life because of peer pressure." And then I backed up and I said, "No, wait a minute. We're all in that. We all have peer pressure. We all have decisions that we have to make. Not a one of us in here, young or old alike, that Satan is not trying to get us back into the world. And the hard part is making that decision to do the right thing and to keep sin out of our life. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20 says this, "For if after you escape the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse than the beginning." We get out of the world, Satan tries to pull us back. The third thing, when we think about showing honor to God, not only in our life but in worship service, we need to do everything in our power to get closer to God each and every day. Everything within our power to get closer to God each and every day. James 4 and verse 8 says, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you." There's a song in our song book, "There's a place of quiet rest. It's near to the heart of God." Getting closer to God in our lives. Depending more upon him. Helping or leaning upon him in our decision making. And then fourth and finally, we should always show reverence to God. When we come together, if we want to show honor to God in our worship, then we need to show reverence to God when we're here. You know, it's just as important that we worship with reverence and awe. The book of Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28 says, "Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby you may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." Three things God expects from us. He expects us to obey him. He expects us to worship him. And he expects us to tell the world. That's a changed man. That's a changed woman. That's a changed life when we obey God. Then it's a lot easier when we come together to worship God, to put our heart and put our minds where it needs to be, and we will be excited about that. We will be dedicated about that, and we'll want to tell other people about Jesus. Tonight, are you a Christian? If not, why not? Will you become a Christian tonight through your faith? Are you willing to believe with all your heart, just like the eunuch? If you're willing to do that, then we want to encourage you to step out of the aisle tonight to come forward, confessing your faith, turning from sin, and being baptized for the remission of your sins. If you're here, however, and you've been unfaithful to God, and you need to rededicate your life to the Lord, come while we stand and sing.